Good morning. I am Jared Johnson. I am an elder here at Restored. Since Pastor Rob is off gallivanting in Europe and probably sharing Jesus with people right now, I'm here to share with you guys. I've done this before, and it doesn't make me super nervous anymore, necessarily. But I am a little nervous today. What I'm going to talk about is not necessarily what I wouldn't have necessarily been my first choice to talk about, and wouldn't be my first choice to listen to somebody talking about. It's not easy stuff. But it is what I think the Lord has been leading me to talk about. And so I'm going to kind of share my topic, and then we're going to pray. I'm going to be serious about praying because I really want the Lord to speak through me, to really keep my mouth shut on anything I shouldn't be opening my mouth about, and just give direction on what is said and open hearts to hear what needs to be heard. And so, Dr. Don's message last week, for those of you who were here or who heard it, this kind of confirmed to me that this was a good topic to talk about because I think it leads in very well. Dr. Don talked about basically about restoration, what restoration looks like, why it's there, what do we even need restoration for? He talked a lot about how restoration has to come out of suffering, difficulty, trials. He said it's kind of a normal thing. There's always people that are hurting. Men, women, children, whatever. It's the human condition, but that God sees our suffering. He has compassion on us. He has power to supernaturally help us and to change things. He said he does the unlikely. So, his example from Scripture was the man who's dead in a funeral procession, and Jesus walks up, stops the funeral procession, and raises this guy from the dead. This is not normal behavior. This is the unlikely and supernatural. God can do that, and it glorifies him. This is the reason he does it. And at Restored, some of you know, some of you, if you're new or whatever, you might not know, we're not strangers to brokenness. We're not strangers to problems, to trials. There's addictions here in this place to substances or whatever. There's people who have been through trauma and been accidents, whatever. Our other elder Ty was in a terrible accident. He was in hospital for a long time and in a wheelchair. this is difficulty. This is suffering. We've had loss. We've had miscarriages. In my own family, we had a miscarriage and other tragic events and just difficult circumstances. We got a lot of broke people here. That can be difficulty. What I want to talk about specifically when it comes to trials and suffering and how God can begin to restore from that is when the pain that I'm going through has been inflicted by somebody else. I'm not talking about somebody ate, my last waffle or something like that, petty things. I'm talking about when we've had real pain, real damage from other people. And the typical word for this is abuse. This is when something is clearly wrong and it hurts somebody seriously. And so we can be talking about physical abuse, emotional abuse. We can be just talking about things like intimidation, sexual abuse, stalking, criminal behavior. If you've ever been mugged, that's what I would think of as abuse, something that's seriously damaging that happens because of somebody else's actions, even just neglect. And so this is something where you're not talking about people who are participating in conflict and have to resolve it. We're talking about people who have been made victims. One of the reasons I really began to feel like this is something I should talk about is because I've become sort of brokenheartedly convinced that this is a very widely relevant issue in this church, in the city, in the world. Really, especially if you've participated in ministry, in urban ministry, in restored ministry, you're going to find out that a lot of people have been affected by serious broken behavior from others. Dr. Don said that everybody's been hurt, and I would say that just about everybody has been hurt by others really profoundly. And so many people have been on the receiving end of actions like this. Others have been on the other end. They've abused others. They've hurt others seriously. And if you haven't been on either side of that, it's great. You've probably been close to someone who has. And so this is probably something that touches you personally somehow. If there's people in this room who that doesn't really apply to, that surprises me. But you should probably still listen, because there are plenty of other people in this room that you could be helping to get through something like that. For some people, it's in the past. For some people, it may be happening right now. In any case, it's just something I feel it's time to talk about. And so I just want to pray before we begin for God to really lead that discussion. Lord Jesus, as I've said, this is not something I would have chosen. This is not something I enjoy bringing up. But God, there are people in this room. There's people in this room who have received restoration from real serious abuse. There are people in this room who still need that restoration and have things in their past that maybe they've shared, maybe they haven't shared with others, but who are stuck and need healing from you. There may be people here who are in the middle of an abusive situation, whatever that might look like. Lord, this is serious business. God, I just pray right now that you would protect the things that are said here. Lord, it's so easy when there's an open nerve, a raw nerve, to touch it in the wrong way, even with true words, even with words from the Bible. And so I just pray that what is said this morning is what you want to be said, what you want to be heard here. And Lord, I just pray that when we walk out of here, that there are people who are beginning a process of healing or moving forward toward a process of healing as a result of what you want to share with people today. And so just open up your truth to us, your Holy Spirit. Be here. Help us to heal. Help us to learn and to grow, but only to hear what you have for us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to introduce, I have a summary statement here. Rob has the boom. This is not exactly the same thing, so I called it the beam, you know. See what I did there? And this is what I want to say today. This is maybe a little longer than what Rob usually has. It's kind of really my outline, and I'm just going to leave it up here for the whole message. But here it is. So when someone abuses me, they are hurting God's creation, whom he loves. God gently calls me to forgive, but first I must realize that it was wrong. I did not deserve it. It cannot continue. And I need help to receive healing in Christ. So this is what I want people to take away today. And I'm going to delve into these things as we go. And this is, you know, one of the things that's difficult about this is I think that, you know, it took me some time to decide to even use these words like abuse. Not all of us even want to ascribe that word to ourselves, even if it applies. We really shy away from saying, you know what, I was abused or I was a victim of this or that. We don't always want to admit it. Maybe that makes it a little bit more real to us, and we have to deal with it if we actually admit that that's what happened. Maybe it's worse than what we really want to admit, and we need healing more than we realize. But I just find, even, you know, for me, I've been through things that are genuinely what I would call abuse, and it's taken me a long time to say that. But I think it's kind of important to really just kind of call it what it is. The first thing I want to focus on, if you can do the next slide here, I actually want to talk about what I'm not going to be talking about that much, which is forgiveness. And that's significant. It's the first thing that comes to mind. When I, you know, there was somebody I mentioned to, I said, I'm going to talk, I think in my sermon, I'm going to talk about what happens, what I do when somebody hurts me. And they said, oh, you mean forgiveness, you know? And that was actually the first thing that came to my mind when I thought maybe I should talk about this. I could talk about forgiveness. And I just want to be clear, it's biblical to say, you know, when somebody hurts me, I need to figure out how to forgive them. This is the thing, is that it's not necessarily always the first thing that we have to figure out. It's true. Forgiveness is a good thing. I'm going to read Colossians 3, 12 through 13. It says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other, and forgive one another if one of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So this is a command from Jesus, but it's not always the first step. And I really think that sometimes people make mistakes of either trying to force on themselves, I need to go and forgive this right away, I need to deal with forgiveness first. Or sometimes people in the church or wherever, people that are trying to help, they jump to this. You come to them with what's going on or what has happened in your life, and they say, listen, you gotta deal with forgiveness. And it's meant well, and sometimes it's the right thing to say, but the thing is, sometimes it's not the first step. Sometimes I think, personally, we feel we can just kind of flip a switch of forgiveness and say, you know what, I've forgiven this person, and then I can move on. The first time I went on a roller coaster, a real serious roller coaster as a kid, in Worlds of Fun, it was the Orient Express. It's gone now. But the line took like a half hour, 45 minutes to get through, and I was kind of freaking out the whole time. I'd never done this before. And I was so worried about it that when I got on, I just closed my eyes as tightly as I could, and I just like kind of stuck my head down in my chest. And I have no idea what actually happened. I was like, I think I might be upside down right now. Maybe I'm going through a loop. Maybe I'm going down a hill. I don't really know. I'm going to try to not really pay attention to what's going on here. I think sometimes we approach things like forgiveness and pain from other people hurting us that way, is we want it to be over as quickly as possible. And so I think sometimes we almost fool ourselves. And I'm sorry if you're someone who's actually legitimately gone through and forgiven somebody. I don't want to call that into question, but we can examine, have I really been through this process, or did I just kind of try to sweep things under the rug so that I wouldn't have to deal with them, so that my relationship with somebody wouldn't be damaged or more difficult, than I want it to be. And to be clear, you know, this is about all I'm going to say about it, but it's important. Tyson, Elder Tyson, is going to be talking about it next week. And so that was kind of proposed solution that I had to how do you deal with forgiveness, and yet there's so many other things that we might want to talk about first, is we'll get there. But that's not going to be the focus. God is gently calling me towards forgiveness. But first, and that's what I want to get to. If you want to do the next slide here. The first step before I can legitimately work on forgiveness or anything else, healing, whatever, is to realize that what happened to me was wrong. Similarly, that I did not deserve what happened to me. I've heard a lot of things, I've said a lot of things to myself, and I've heard other people say a lot of things to kind of undermine this idea that what happened was wrong and that I didn't deserve it. One of the biggest things that you hear is that it was no big deal, that it didn't matter that much, it wasn't that bad. Why do we say that when so often it is not true? I think sometimes we're coming at it from the perspective of a lot of the people around us. Maybe we expect that if we brought something up that happened, other people would not really validate that. Other people would be like, well, what's the big deal? Maybe this is a situation that's not typical, you know? Men get raped. Parents get physically abused by their children. There are a lot of things that you can really classify as abuse. You can call it by that name, or you can just say it's very damaging and very hurtful, but it doesn't fit the mold. And quite honestly, even the things that do fit the profile of abuse, sometimes we know or we believe that the people around us aren't going to accept that. And sadly, that can be true. This is kind of a conversation in society right now, is how does society react to rape? How does society react to physical abuse and people harming each other? And is it appropriate? It's not always appropriate. And sometimes I think we look at the reaction we expect that may or may not actually be what we're actually going to get, but we just minimize it because we believe other people are going to minimize it. Sometimes I think we look at the people who have hurt us, and we feel we need to make excuses for them. Maybe we don't want to damage our relationship with that person. We don't want to go through a difficult time with them. We're kind of trying to make things easier on them. And I think sometimes when we look at our own perspective, maybe we don't want to acknowledge the pain so that we would have to deal with it. I think sometimes we blame ourselves. People, I think they look at a situation and they don't identify it as being wrong because they believe it was their fault or they deserved it. Sometimes this happens because we kind of need to blame somebody, but we don't want to blame the person that did it. There's somebody that we care about. They're close to us. And so we kind of put the blame back on ourselves. You know, sometimes we're talking about, you know, a grown person, a mature person who is just dealing with a situation too difficult. Sometimes we're talking about a child that doesn't really have the ability to process and to figure these things out without help. And so they make that wrong assumption and it stays with them. Obviously, sometimes when there's some kind of ongoing abuse, then the person who hurt you might be the one who's using that blame as a tool to continue doing it. And so they tell you that it was your fault. They blame you. They make a case for it. If you hadn't done this or this or this, this wouldn't have happened. And so in order to keep things hidden, in order to keep things going so that they can get what they want, or because they can't handle their own guilt and they want to blame you, they put that on you. And so again, you're looking at things from your own perspective, saying, you know what, I did something to cause this. You know, I've heard it said before, you know what, well, we all deserve hell, you know, and so sure, I deserved this treatment. And that, you know, that was a really odd statement to me. I almost laughed at that, but I can see there is truth to this statement that we deserve hell. But the problem is, really with all these statements, is that we're really looking at things from our own perspectives or from other people's perspectives. I want to talk about God's perspective. You know, so far, looking at this statement, this is something that I think most psychologists would agree with, whatever their beliefs are. you know, a lot of logical people would agree and rational people would say, yeah, you know what, we don't deserve it. But I really want to talk about how does God's perspective inform this? Because this is not just about, you know, I think a lot of psychology, most psychology about this is valid, but it's not all there is. We want to hear what God has to say about this. Matthew 10:29-31, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care?" And so if a sparrow can't fall to the ground without the Lord noticing this and caring about it, being interested, he says, even The very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And so this is kind of a tender thing he says. It's almost sarcastic, really. He's saying, if God is interested in what happens to a couple of sparrows falling out of the ground, don't you realize that you're worth so much more to him than that? He's numbered the hairs on your head. He has a keen interest in what's going on in your life. I'm going to read an excerpt from Psalm 113. If you try to follow along, you won't be able to because I've cut it up. But it says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You are familiar with all my ways. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." And so from God's perspective, God has an intimate knowledge of us, and he has since before we were born. He knows what we're going to say, what we're going to think, what's going to happen to us, and he cares about this. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and he has a vested interest in what happens to us. And so he doesn't ignore my pain. He takes this seriously. When something happens to me that shouldn't have happened, he cares about that. This is a big deal to him. Even if I want to tell myself it's not a big deal to me, it matters to him. And so I want to begin to really see not just other people, but myself through his perspective, that if I matter so much to him, then it's wrong for somebody to harm me. We deserve hell. This is kind of a fundamental thing about the gospel. One of the first things you'll hear from somebody, if you ask, well, how do I fix my relationship with God? How do I get to heaven? How do I get salvation? Well, you need to realize that you're a sinner. You deserve hell. But this is the thing, is that is between me and God. God, I deserve punishment from God, and fortunately, he offers me grace. But that doesn't mean that I deserve any of the treatment that I get from other people. People don't have a right to treat me like I deserve hell. It's really up to God how he approaches that. And fortunately, God was not interested. He doesn't take pleasure in destruction of wicked people. As Peter says, he sent Jesus Christ because he loved us so much that he wanted to take care of this sin problem. When God shared with Peter that it was time to share Jesus with Gentiles, you know, because before, and for a long time, even after Jesus was raised from the dead, this idea was, well, he came for Jews. He was the Messiah for the Jews. Gentiles have nothing to do with this. And you know, this is not directly related, but I just want to call attention to something that the Holy Spirit told Peter when he was sharing this with him. Because Peter's like, no. He has this dream. He's talking about, oh, you told me not to eat this certain kind of meat. And God says, no, eat it. You know, and it's this analogy showing that he can share with these Gentiles that were previously considered unclean. And in Acts 10:15, he says, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." And so if you're looking at yourself as somebody who deserves bad treatment, who deserves whatever happened to you, that's not what God has called you. He's called you clean. He offers you grace. If you're a believer, then you've received that grace. It's his business now what people do to you or don't do to you. So we just can never look at these situations as things that that we called on ourselves. There's no abuser in the world who can say honestly and sincerely, God told me that I should do this to somebody because they deserved it. That's not how he works. The next thing I want to focus on here, it can't continue. It can't continue. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. You did not deserve it. You never deserved it. That's what God says about us. because of that, it has to stop. And so this is another thing that I feel like can be really neglected when somebody's trying to help, or when somebody's trying to get help, is that the focus immediately goes on, well, what do I do about this for myself? How do I start forgiving somebody? How do I start looking at this the right way? But oftentimes, the first thing that needs to happen is that you're in a situation where something has to be stopped. And so this is just something I want to call special attention to. It seems like the natural step after you realize that something is wrong and it shouldn't be happening. But if you're in a situation where you're in danger of continuing to be hurt by somebody, in whatever way, it needs to stop. You need to draw a line. This is also not just a logical thing, but it is God's priority. It's what he's interested in. Luke 18:7-8, Jesus said to his disciples, "Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly." And we're not talking about revenge, vengeance. We're talking about justice, which is things need to be set right. And God is interested in setting things right right now. And so Jesus himself in Luke 4:17-21, he's in the midst of the synagogue. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." When he said that, he was saying, this is me. I'm the one who was sent to proclaim liberty to captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He came to help us. And so we need to understand, since we don't deserve this treatment, if it's still happening, it needs to be stopped. Some of the possible obstacles to this, maybe you're trapped in a relationship. You don't feel like the person who's harming you would allow you to leave or to change things. Maybe you've become complacent and you're used to the treatment that you're receiving. Again, you're so used to this idea that you deserve it, that it's okay, that it's not a big deal. Maybe because of this idea you've had that you deserved it, or you did something to deserve it, or you did something to bring it on yourself, maybe you are ashamed and you don't want to do anything that would let other people know of what you perceive as your own shortcomings and your own weakness. Or maybe these things just haven't been internalized for you, and you don't completely get it. It's not important enough to you to do something about it. One obstacle, I think, to stopping a situation that I want to specifically call out is another scriptural thing that sometimes gets misused or used in the wrong time, which is this idea that I'm supposed to be turning the other cheek, right? Jesus said, turn the other cheek. So somebody hits you, you're not supposed to leave the situation. You're not supposed to tell them to stop. You're supposed to say, okay, well, here's my other cheek. Just hit me again, I'm gonna quote John Piper. here, because this is in the Bible. This is not made up. We don't want to ignore it or try to contradict it. But this is what John Piper says. He says, when Jesus commands his disciples, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other one also, in Matthew 5:39, he is describing one way of love. And this is what Jesus did, right? He allowed us to crucify him. And he didn't try to stop it. He says, it's the testimony that Jesus is so sufficient to me that I do not need revenge. So I don't need to hit somebody back. But this is not the only path of love open to those who are persecuted. This is the deal, is that just because Jesus talks about a situation where we can allow somebody, we can become vulnerable and allow somebody to hurt us instead of reacting and taking revenge, that's not the only thing Jesus talks about. I think it's clear from all the rest of Scripture, you know, there are people that run away from situations, and God doesn't say, no, you should have just received that abuse. You should have just allowed yourself to be hurt. We can look at this verse. We can get something from it. It doesn't necessarily apply when we're talking about, I'm a victim, I'm being victimized, and I'm just going to continue staying in that place of a victim. And so this is kind of where I want to move forward here. If you want to do the next slide, all these obstacles to stopping a situation, and also just for people, you know, maybe the situation's over. Maybe it was something that happened once. Maybe it was something that happened for years, but it's over now. A lot of people are still stuck, right? They haven't necessarily, what you would say, you know, they haven't necessarily gotten past what's happened. And so maybe they think they have, but then it keeps coming back, and just they can't get away from it, right? It still hurts, and you don't know what to do about it. And so in any case, the answer, it can't just amount to, I'm gonna study this stuff and I'm going to understand better how I didn't deserve this. You really have to get help. And so if you're stuck in an abusive situation, you don't know how to get out of it, the first step is that you have to talk to somebody. Somebody has to know about what's going on. If you're stuck in your own head, you don't know what to do about something that happened to you, the answer is that you need to talk to somebody about it. If you think that you're fine, but you've never shared this with anybody, and you don't feel like you ever could, that means you're not fine. It means that you need to find somebody that you can share it with, so that when we've really healed from these things, there's not so much weight on them that we cannot share them. Who can we get help from? Obviously, it's not just anybody. You don't just walk out on the street and say, hey, help me out here. It's somebody you trust. I'm going to say that it should be somebody who understands these things well. Because even in the church, even people that are close to you, if you're a kid, you know, a parent, your spouse, even some professionals, they might not have these answers. So you need someone who really understands your value and is going to lead you in the right direction. I think the church can be a very good place to start, especially this church. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that in this church that there are a lot of people that can help with this. Jeremiah 22:3, this is what God tells his people, the church, to do. It says, this is what the Lord says, do what is just and right. Rescue from the hand of the oppressor, the one who has been robbed. Do no wrong or violence to the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow. Do not shed innocent blood in this place. And so this is the way that I look at the church, is as protectors of innocent blood, of people who rescue people from that are being oppressed. And this seems like dramatic language, like this is, you know, somebody who's been thrown in prison or something like that. But this is people who can't defend themselves. For whatever reason, it's our job to help. And so we need to, quite honestly, as a church, we need to familiarize ourselves with these ideas. We need to have this understanding if we're going to help somebody out of this situation. If, you know, some of you, this is not your church or hasn't been, if you go to somebody for help, wherever, and they are pushing you to stay in an unsafe situation that you know God is not pleased with. He doesn't look at these situations in approval. He's not happy with them. You know, that doesn't make somebody a horrible person if they don't know how to help you, but you have not found the right person. You need to find somebody who can push you towards what God wants for you. What kind of help do we need, and what kind of help can we give if we're somebody who wants to help? The first thing, as I said, is safety. We need to make sure that this is stopped. Maybe in a relationship you need to set boundaries, and it's as simple as that. If so, you need transparency, and you need somebody else to understand exactly what's going on and what those boundaries are. You need help figuring that out. Maybe you need to pause or stop a relationship, and you're going to need help with that, discerning what you should do and then making sure that it happens. So in any case, I think the key is transparency. You can't tell somebody a little bit of the problem and then just kind of do it yourself. You need support, you need help, you need somebody to really kind of tell you if your perspective is off and you're not actually doing what you need to do to help yourself. You need to be set up with resources. You may need counseling. We at Restored have people that can help with that. You may need help finding more answers to this in Scripture. You know, do a Bible study with somebody. Start to understand what it is that God says about this. You need prayer. You can't just be kind of praying for yourself, trying to get through it on your own. You really need people in prayer with you. And simply just the fact that we're sharing these things with each other can be a huge relief. Galatians 6:2 tells us to carry each other's burdens. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. I can tell you from personal experience that when I've been through serious pain, just knowing somebody else knows is a relief to me. It helps to know and to see somebody simply look at the situation and say, that shouldn't have happened. They're valuing me the same way that Jesus values me, and just affirming that fact. I want to bring up too. There are people here who have been hurt. We get the wrong idea about these things as a result of the things that happened to us, as a result of the things that have been said to us. Oftentimes, those same people hurt others, I think. If somebody needs to heal from that, if somebody needs to change and get past that, really, it's really the same thing. If you want to flip to the next slide, if I'm somebody that's hurt other people, or I'm hurting other people, I need to understand. I'm just going to read this: when I abuse someone, I am hurting God's creation, whom He loves. God gently calls me to receive forgiveness, but first I must realize that it was wrong. No one deserves it. It cannot continue. And I need help to receive healing in Christ. We need to just acknowledge God's perspective on this. And so, this has been from the perspective of somebody who's hurt, who's been hurt, who's being hurt. If you're somebody who has hurt other people, you need help. And we can help you. Similarly, if you've been affected by somebody who's been hurt, who's been abused, you need to understand this if you want to help them and if you want to get through it yourself. I can just say from personal experience that there's shrapnel. When somebody else's life gets damaged, it hurts for the people watching, not just for the victim and the perpetrator or whatever. If you're around and you care about those people, then it affects you. And just as much, us understanding how God looks at these situations can help us to move forward. So, just to summarize here, if you are somebody who has been or is being hurt by somebody else, You need to understand that it was wrong. You need to understand it was a big deal. It was a big deal to God. It should be a big deal to me. It was not your fault. You didn't deserve any of it. And you need help. And we can help. And so I'm just going to pray. I don't know where everybody's at that's hearing this and what you need. But I think God is calling us to just begin to be open about this with others, to even just be open with ourselves. I know that for years I was a person who would say, well, you know what? One time somebody threatened me with a butcher knife. Well, they weren't really going to do anything, you know. One time somebody threatened to kill themselves in front of me. I'm sure they wouldn't have done it, though. You know, it was not a big deal. I never admitted to myself these were situations that I needed healing from, that were wrong, that should never have happened. And so I think that there may be a lot of people here that need to hear that this should never have happened to you. This should never have happened to this person that you loved, or this is something that you should never have done, and you need help to move forward. So let's pray. God, you're above labels. You're beyond the names and words that we take to ourselves. You see deep into our heart, and you always have, and you care. So, Lord, we just want to come to your feet right now. We want to admit to you the things that we've done, the things that we have tried to cover up that we've done. But God, we also want to bring out the things that we've tried to cover up to ourselves that have happened to us. If I've been hurt, then God, I need healing from you. I can't just forget about it. I can't just pretend it never happened. Sometimes I can't just forgive without receiving some healing and some restoration to walk in that direction. Lord, we don't want to be bitter people. We don't react in anger for our own sakes. And so we want to learn forgiveness. But Lord, first just help us to understand that we never deserved these things that happened to us, God, that we can stand up for ourselves and that this is scriptural. And God, importantly, that other people can stand up for us. We need that. God, help us to become connected to the body of Christ, to the people that you want to place in our lives to help us. And God, I know, as Dr. Don said last week, that, Lord, you always supernaturally work to heal us, to restore us out of this brokenness. This is just one area where that's true and that's going to remain true. God, I just pray that you would help us walk in that, walk through it in the way that you have lined out for us. God, we need you. Some of us are hurting. Some of us are damaged. Some of us are being damaged. And we need help. So, God, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would just be all over it tonight, that if there are people that need prayer, that they would come. God, we just ask for you to work today, not tomorrow, just right now. Pray this in Jesus' name.